we begin? Well, good morning, everybody. A warm welcome to our new friends. Continuing in our series, happens every time this. Is that all right? Continuing in our series, Being a Person Of. Today we're going to be looking at being a person of believing the truth. Now, I'm not talking about the truth when we refer to the truth over a lie. I'm talking about biblical truth, believing in this. Pilate asked Jesus just before his death, "What is truth?" Now, Jesus gave no answer, probably because the truth would have fallen on deaf ears. Now, it saddens me to hear from somebody who professes to go to church every Sunday but didn't know God. And that happens. And that happened in a church that we went to for a couple of years. Now, when my daughter and son were very young, Holly would have been 5 and Mark would have been 8. Holly was a Brownie and Mark was a Cub Scout. And part of being members of their troop, they had to go to church once a month. So being so young, we, Sandra and I, went along with them. Now, I had an image of church in my mind. And I won't mention the name of the church, but it lived up to my expectations. And I think it was probably the second or third time that we'd been that we were shouted at because we'd gone and sat in somebody else's seat. And I was gobsmacked, basically. So we got up and we moved to the back of the church. And if I'm honest, I absolutely hated it. I hated church. And I couldn't wait for them to get out of the Brownies and the Scouts so that I didn't have to go to church. Consequently, it came to an end, much to my relief. Can't speak for Sandra. But when Sandra then decided to start coming to Mount Chapel, I wanted absolutely nothing to do with it. So she came on her own for several weeks. And I'd like to say that Mount Chapel is not like that other church. Like that other church, we never once, as far as I can remember, we were never once offered a Bible. We didn't have a Bible between us. I don't ever remember seeing a Bible in the church other than the Bible the vicar read from. We never actually said anything other than sing the hymns unless it was in response to something the vicar had said. And that came off a sheet. We were never taught to go home and read the Bible and study what we'd just heard on the Sunday. So, to me, church lived up to my expectations until I started to come here. And I would like to honestly say that it wasn't what I expected. And it was totally different. And we were welcomed here. And we've been here ever since. So, what would we do? Or how should we react if somebody came in off the street, never had been to church, never knew God, or say somebody came as a new Christian from Salford Stories? How would we or how should we react
to that.
And I believe that there is a two-step path that we could go down. The first thing that I believe we should do is share the truth with others in the way that God has made us to do so. To share the truth with others in the way that God has made us to do so. What do I mean by that? Well, we are not all called to be teachers. We are not all called to be preachers or prophets. But we are all called to be evangelists. Now, we can all be evangelists in our own way. The gospel, the good news, is not something for us to keep to ourselves. We are to share that with others who don't know it. And you may not feel comfortable teaching, preaching, prophesying, but you may feel comfortable in hospitality. Joyce is wonderful at that. My wife is wonderful at hospitality. If it was left to me, we'd eat our meals on our own for the rest of our lives. You'd never get an invite. But it's a perfect opportunity to share the truth with someone who doesn't know it. You may just be a person who's got a good ear for listening. Well, you know, I've got this problem and I don't know who to go to. Just a listening ear may be all that that person needs. So we are to share the good news in any way that God has given us to do so. So that's the first step. The second step is we are to teach others to pursue God for themselves so that they can acquire truth from the Word of God personally. That is what it's all about. A personal relationship with God. Not what George Jones says. I don't have the final authority or the final say-so. Not what John Ogden says, not what the vicar down the road says, but what Jesus Christ himself says. Where do we get that from? The good book. What did Jesus say on the subject? Because that's the final authority. That's the final say-so, or we at Mount Chapel believe. That's what we believe. The final say-so comes from this book, or from what the Holy Spirit tells us, confirms to us. And in John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus says this. John 8:30 says this. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him. Now that's a key word, believed. The book, the Bible, to a non-believer is just another book. And in a lot of cases, a book to be avoided because it's a boring book. You ask anybody who doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, have you read the Bible? Oh no, it's too long-winded. Oh no, don't believe all those stories. So to a non-believer, the Bible is just another book. But to those who believe, the Bible is and should be the manual for life. Whatever situation, whatever problem you are going through, turn to the good book. Pray about it. And God will reveal the answer. He goes on to say, so then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So that's the key. If you abide, if you chew on my word, if you go to my word, if you mull it over, if you meditate on it, if you pray about it, then you truly are my disciples. And this is it. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I love that. And the truth will set you free. So what is the truth? The truth is God's word. That is the truth. Whatever situation you're going through, whatever problems we face, let's always revert back to the book. Let's always revert back to the truth, and the truth will set you free. But guess what? Don't take my word for it. Take God's. So where can we find something, some story, some scripture that will back up what I've just said? There is a scripture that we're going to look at, but I just wonder whether anybody can, has any idea of where we're going to look. Leading someone to Christ and then leading that person to the Lord through the word. Anybody? Well, that's a start. Well, I'll tell you what, let's turn to it. We're looking at John's Gospel, New Testament, chapter 4, verse 1. And it should materialize. The woman at the well. So we're going to read through to chapter 5, verse 1 to 30 first. Chapter 4, sorry. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria, and I'm not going to go down that road, Raymond. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. I'm sure he said, please. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and drank from it himself as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming, when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. And then from 39 to 42, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. Wow. So, here we have an interesting encounter. We see Jesus, a Jew, talking to a woman. And not only a woman, but a Samaritan woman. Now, I'm not going to take for granted that everybody knows that the Jews hated the Samaritans. So, quickly explaining, the Jews hated the Samaritans. In fact, they both hated each other. The Samaritans hated the Jews hated the Samaritans. The Jews hated the Samaritans because they abandoned the way of God to mingle with the nations that lived around them during the Assyrian captivity. The Samaritans hated the Jews because they believed that the Jews didn't worship as they should. The Jews turned around and said that you should worship in Jerusalem only. The Samaritans hated the Jews. So, if you were to look at a map, you would see Galilee here, Jerusalem here, and in between, Samaria. And because the hatred was so deep, so deeply rooted, the Jews would not walk through Samaria to get to Galilee, or vice versa. They would come around, probably adding another 25 or another quarter of the journey simply to bypass Samaria. So here we see Jesus, who wanted to get to Galilee, but thought, I'm not going to go all the way around. And he went through. And he there encounters this woman at Jacob's well. Now, if we note, it said that now was the sixth hour. Now, most people would have come to the well earlier because they would have needed the water to get through the daily life. This woman came at the sixth hour. Why? Well, if we read from the passage, it more or less gives us an indication that this woman was ostracized. The other women wanted nothing to do with her. And this probably had something to do with her sexual activity. Even by today's standards, she'd had five husbands, which was quite bad, even by today's standards. And the man that she was now living with wasn't her husband. So she was probably treated like a common prostitute. But that didn't deter Jesus. Jesus didn't go down the road of Jewish piety. Jesus didn't treat this woman as any other Jew would have. And another thing that stands out from the story for me was that Jesus had a conversation with this woman. He didn't Bible bash her. Well, he didn't have a Bible at that time. But he didn't bash her with the scriptures. He didn't say, "How many husbands?" He spoke with her. And in a lot of cases, is that not where we go wrong? Oh, well, you know, you're going through that situation. Maybe you need Jesus in your life. Maybe that isn't what the person's needing to hear at that moment in time. But Jesus speaks to her pleasantly. You know, "Please, could I have a drink? Go and fetch your husbands." She could have disappeared and never come back. But she didn't. She came out with the truth. Or rather, she said, "Well, I'm not married at the moment," because she wasn't. But then Jesus said to her, "You speak truly. I know that you've already had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband." Now, people of that time would have known about prophets. So obvious that she finds out that Jesus knows her life. Surely this is a prophet. But how did she react? How did she react? "Who is this man that's speaking to me? Are you a prophet?" And then, what does Jesus do that is absolutely amazing, but reveal to this woman that was an outcast by society, that he was the Christ? Wow. "I am the Messiah." Wow. Now, to his own people, he called himself the Son of Man. He never came out and said to the rulers of the Pharisees, the rulers of the Jews, "I am the Christ." No, "I am the Son of God." How would the Jews have reacted if he'd have said he was the Christ? They'd have been a little bit more than angry. Whereas he says to this woman, "I am the Messiah," because he didn't fear retribution. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I am he. And then we see at that point that the disciples return. And it says they marveled that Jesus was talking to a woman. You see, Jewish piety again, it wasn't the done thing. Men did not speak to women, especially on their own. We still do that today. It's not right, simply because of what people may think, for a man to be alone in an empty room with another woman, pray, even though you may just be praying for them. We don't do it because of what others may think. And here the disciples see Jesus talking not only to a woman but to a Samaritan woman on his own. But out of respect for Jesus, nothing is said. And then what happens? She leaves her water jar and goes back to the village. Have you ever had it where you're in a meeting or you're in your quiet room reading the word and something jumps out at you? The Holy Spirit reveals something to you and you've just got to share it. I do it with Sandra all the time. Hey, you've got to read this. Have you read this? And you read it to them and they look totally blank. And you think, no, you've missed. Have you not understood what I've said? And Holly was the best friend. I used to run into it. Holly, look, you've got to read this. Yeah, Dad, yeah, okay, yeah. But here, this woman had been speaking with Jesus. He had told her things about her that nobody else knew. How did Jesus, this Jewish man, know? She must have been, I mean, it just says, she left her jar and went back to the village. I imagine she ran back to her village, full of excitement. And no, she didn't go back to the women. She didn't go back and relate what had happened to the women because they probably wouldn't want to know anyway. She went back to the men. Come see. Come hear a man who has told me everything about myself. Wow, really? Yeah, really. Come and listen to him. You see what's happening? She'd heard the word of God. We know the word of God. It's our duty to go out and share with others the word of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So she's now gone back to the men of the village, told them what has happened. Their consciences have been pricked. The seed has been sowed. Okay, we'll come back with you. So they then come to Jesus. They come to hear the word of God. And what happens? They're taken as well. Jesus must have had a way. He must have had a way of getting across to people. So what do they then do? They then say to Jesus, oh, we've got guys back at home that will want to hear what you've just said. Please, come back with us. Stay with us. Teach us. Talk to us. Let them, tell them what you've just told us. Now they're getting excited. Okay, I'll stay with you for 2 days. And many more believed. And not only believed what he'd said, but they believed that he was the Messiah. Wow. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, because we've gone on so late, I'm going to cut it down. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, if we read that story, three things happened. Firstly, Jesus took the good news to the Samaritans. The Jews never would have. If Jesus hadn't have gone through Samaria, those people wouldn't have been saved. If Jesus had chosen to live and act and behave in the same way that the Jews acted and behaved, the people of Samaria wouldn't have received the gospel at that time. So if we choose to store up the good news within ourselves and not bother to share it with anybody, how's people going to get saved? How's our people going to get to know God? So Jesus chose to be salvation for the Samaritans. He reached out and touched the people who were treated as pariahs, basically. The second thing, the Samaritan woman's encounter with Jesus Christ caused her to believe. And that caused her to preach to the menfolk. Pass it on. This caused them to believe and wanted to know more. The men of the city then had a personal encounter with Jesus, which caused their faith, their new faith, to be anchored. And that is what we are called to do. We are called to be the foot soldiers for Christ. We are called to go out and share the truth with others. But then not just to leave it there. Once we've got them to that point, we need to promote Jesus Christ. We need to lead them into a personal relationship with Christ themselves. We don't want them to come in and hear what George Jones has got to say. Period. We want them to come in, listen to our message. Do you have a Bible? Because that's the word of God. If you don't have one, please say, because we want you to have one so that you can abide in his word. It's not a case of us coming to church on a Sunday morning, going out afterwards and then doing nothing about it for the rest of the week, and then come back the following Sunday to hear what the vicar's got to say. Jesus Christ is living and alive, and he must be within us. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. We're just storing up treasures in earthen vessels. We are called to bring people to Christ. First step. But we cannot do anything other than that. The second step and the rest of the steps is down to God. We are taught to bring people to Christ, and Jesus Christ will then take people to God. Remember what he said. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. We've got to get him. We've got to get people to him. He then does the rest. But without this, without the good book, we stop. Yes, we know Jesus, but do we know all there is to know about him? This tells us When we look at something, we can pray about it. Lord, reveal to me through your word more things about you. I remember when I first bought, when I bought my first car. I loved it. Ford Cortina. Automatic. Oh, Jordan San. Roxy Music on the back. But I knew absolutely nothing about how it worked. So what did I do? I went out and bought the manual. 6 months later, still couldn't figure out how to do anything on it. But this is our manual. This is our contact with the living Saviour. This is the truth. Jesus said to those who believed, if you abide in my word, if you live in it, if you eat it, if you meditate on it, if you pray about it, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's pray. Father God, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, the three in one, thank you for saving us. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the truth. Thank you that you are the way. And thank you that when we get to know you, we will have life in abundance. But Lord, I pray that we are not people who will just sit back and receive our inheritance but do nothing to help anybody else. So we pray, Lord, on this very special day when we remember Pentecost, I pray, Lord, that you will pour out your Spirit among your people so that we will go forth with a boldness and reach those who are lost. And bring them the first step. Bring them to you and then allow you, Jesus, to do the rest. But help us to teach them, Lord. And help them to know and realize that it's a personal relationship that they need to be in. They can't live off what the vicar says or the priest says. They've got to have a personal relationship. Relationship with you, Jesus. That's what it's all about. Help us, Lord, to be your foot soldiers. Equip us with everything that we need and allow you to do the rest, Lord. We love you, we worship you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Thank you for listening, and may you have a blessed week this week.